This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. There's little doubt that Congress will ease the ban on importing lower-cost medicines from Canada and other developed nations. The only questions are how and when. Still, as NPR's Julie Rovner reports, while legislative action may seem inevitable, it's still a challenge.
The House passed a bill last summer to legalize the import of drugs from some 24 industrialized nations, but until this spring, the Senate had steadfastly resisted. Many mark as the turning point in the debate this declaration from Mississippi Republican Senator Trent Lott, a longtime ally of the drug industry and opponent of loosening restrictions on drug imports.
The cost of prescription drugs are getting unbearable, and I cannot explain to my mother any longer why she should pay twice or two-thirds as much more than what they pay in Canada or Mexico with the same drugs. I can't do it anymore.
Just days later, drug import backers forced Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist into promising action on the issue this year when they threatened to derail the nomination of Food and Drug Administrator Mark McClellan to head the Medicare program. The process Frist promised began in earnest yesterday before the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. The hearing room was crowded with senior citizens anxious to find ways to cut their drug costs. Ranking Democrat Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts noted that some in attendance had already accomplished that task, including Loy Bell Poole, a retired nurse from Sandusky, Ohio.
Like other Americans struggling to make ends meet, she finds a way to get her drugs from Canada. They cost her $151 for a 90-day supply. In the United States, it costs her $660.
But while it seems just about everyone else has come around to support drug imports, the FDA still says people like Poole are risking their health when they buy drugs from Canada. In one case, FDA Associate Commissioner William Hubbard told the committee, the FDA ordered a package of drugs from a website that said it was Canadian, but actually appeared to be selling Chinese counterfeits.
And it arrived a few days later like this, and then it had a return address not in China, but Miami, Florida, but a postmark from Dallas, Texas, and a phone number for reorder. So we called the phone number and asked the phone company where it was, and they said it was in Belize.
And even drugs that appear to be exactly like those approved by the FDA may not be. Hubbard brought along an X-ray of a woman's chest, pointing out spots he said were pieces of a calcium drug for osteoporosis that failed to dissolve when swallowed.
It was improperly made. So she was essentially eating rocks. And as you can see, these are pills going through her digestive system. And they never dissolved in her body, never entered her bloodstream, never had any therapeutic effect. But if you took those pills and crushed them with a hammer and did a chemical analysis, it would say it's the same as the U.S.-made drug.
FDA Associate Commissioner John Taylor told the committee that drug imports could be made safe, but only if Congress provides the agency hundreds of millions of dollars.
We need to enhance our presence not only at the borders, at the mail facilities. We would need to enhance our ability to do foreign inspections overseas to determine whether or not the products are manufactured properly. We would need to enhance our resources in order to do any type of enforcement follow-up or any kind of criminal cases that might result.
One thing those on both sides agree is that while Congress and the FDA have bickered, illegal imports have flourished, in some cases with state and local government backing. If safety is to be assured, said New York Democratic Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, Congress and the FDA will have to reach some kind of agreement.
People are going to get those drugs, whether they go by their car or they get it in the mail. So we need a new system, and we need your help to develop that new system.
And she added, the public has had it with paying drug prices that are in many cases more than double what those in other developed countries pay because the U.S. is the only major industrialized nation without drug price controls.
It is not fair any longer for the American taxpayer, consumer, and patient to be at the bottom of an inverted triangle supporting the drug research and development for the entire world.
Meanwhile, though, consumers continue to take matters into their own hands. Yesterday, a Minnesota senior citizen group sued 9 major drug makers. The suit accuses the firms of illegally refusing to sell products to Canadian pharmacies that sell drugs back to Americans at lower prices. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.